This is PodTech News on September 22nd. I'm Catherine Girardeau. Hewlett-Packard held a press briefing this afternoon at which they refused to answer any questions from the press. HP CEO and President Mark Hurd and Mike Holston, a representative of Morgan Lewis, the law firm HP has retained to investigate its own leak investigation, spoke at the press event. The main points: Patricia Dunn has resigned from HP's board effective immediately, and Mark Hurd will take her place. Effective immediately. And Mike Holston of Morgan Lewis, the lawyer in the presentation, said that Mark Hurd approved both the concept and content of misinformation emailed to a journalist. The email was set up to be apparently from a disgruntled senior HP executive and was designed to encourage the journalist to share confidential sources. PodTech News brings you the audio of the full press conference held at HP headquarters in Palo Alto.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for coming here. I know some of you have come a long way. We know you've all been waiting for HP to comment on the recent issues that have been in the news. And we're pleased to have this opportunity to begin commenting. There will be two speakers today. Mark Hurd, HP's president and CEO, will speak first with his comments on the recent events. He'll be followed by Mike Holston. Mike is a partner with the law firm of Morgan Lewis, and he will take you through the events that his team has helped us discover during their analysis of the leak investigation. Before we begin, I know that you saw the announcement yesterday that Mark has offered to appear before the subcommittee of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. The committee has accepted his offer. So as not to preempt the committee's questions, neither Mark nor Mike will be in a position to answer your questions today. Our media relations team will be available immediately after the event at the usual numbers to try to provide you with what you need. I know these restrictions are not what you want, but I want to emphasize that we see this as an important opportunity for you to begin hearing from us firsthand. I'd now like to ask Mark and Mike to join me and begin their remarks.
Thanks, Bob, for joining us, and thanks to all of you for joining us today. I felt it was important to meet with you. There's been an extensive amount written about us in the media, and we've not really been in a position to respond with a higher certainty of the facts until now. And I know you've been clamoring for those details. My goal from the beginning is to be as transparent as possible, but also as accurate as possible. I wanted the opportunity to share the facts, outline our actions and next steps within the constraints of the ongoing investigation. Before I begin, I want to reiterate this has nothing to do with the strategy or the operations of Hewlett-Packard or, frankly, the vast majority of the people of HP. This company has made tremendous progress in our business operations, and this is a testament to the hard work and contributions of everyone at Hewlett-Packard. Now, let me tell you why I haven't communicated earlier and why I'm speaking with you now. First, this is a complicated situation. And the more I look into it, the more complicated it becomes. As of today, we still do not have all of the facts. I also cannot guarantee that we will ever be able to obtain all of the information regarding this investigation. This is due to its complexity, the number of people involved, with many of them being outside of the company. Having said that, I think we have a sufficient understanding of what has transpired around the investigations, and I want to share that with you. Now let me turn to the facts and what happened and when they happened and my knowledge of certain events. As many of you know, unfortunately, there's been a history of company information leaking from within the HP board. This is clearly in violation of HP's standard of business conduct, our ethics policy that apply to all employees and all board members. I feel very strongly that leaks hurt the company's reputation and its ability to operate effectively. It was the responsibility of the HP chairman to pursue the leak situation. This was taken very seriously, and this was an appropriate course of action. I want to be clear that there were two phases to the investigation. The first phase yielded inconclusive results. In the second phase, while many of the right processes were in place They unfortunately broke down, and no one in the management chain, including me, caught it. Now let me address my knowledge of the events. I understood there was an investigation into leaks of the board. And in July 2005, I attended a brief portion of a meeting at which the results of the first phase of the investigation were discussed. In January 2006, the HP chairman asked to use HP resources to investigate the leaks. In, I believe, February 2006, I was informed by the investigation team that they intended to send an email containing false information in an effort to identify the source of the leaks. I was asked to and did approve the naming convention that was used in the content of the email. I do not recall seeing, nor do I recall approving, the use of tracer technology. In March 2006, I attended a meeting at which a verbal summary of the second phase of the investigation was provided. Specifically, the investigative team had identified the source of the leaks. I understand there's also a written report of the investigation addressed to me and others, but I did not read it. I could have, and I should have. These events culminated in a discussion at the May board meeting about the results of the investigation. The trigger for me was in the form of an email I received in several weeks after the May board meeting. As a result, it was escalated to the board, which appointed outside counsel to do an investigation. This indicated there were some issues with the processes that required yet further investigation. On September 8th, I retained the outside law firm of Morgan Lewis to conduct a more comprehensive investigation. Morgan Lewis reports to me, not to the HP board. I take this responsibility very seriously, and I commit to get to the bottom of this. I believe we have now a substantial set of the facts, and although there may be others, I am confident that we have a good understanding of what has transpired around the investigations. I will also say that some of the findings that Morgan Lewis has uncovered are very disturbing to me. On behalf of Hewlett-Packard, I extend my sincere apologies to those journalists who were investigated and to everyone who was impacted. HP has a distinguished history of conducting business with uncompromising integrity. We believe that these were isolated instances of impropriety and not indicative of how we conduct business at Hewlett-Packard. As we said from the start, the intent of the investigation was absolutely proper and appropriate. The fact that we had leaks on the board needed to be resolved. But the inappropriate techniques that were applied do not reflect the values of HP. They have no place in the company. Integrity is core to everything we stand for, both within HP and in our dealings with our customers. Today, we announce the following effective immediately. We have accepted the resignation of our chairman and director, Patricia Dunn. I want to take the opportunity to thank Patty for 8 years of service on HP's board. She has contributed greatly to our company during a period of unprecedented growth and development. I have been appointed to the additional role of HP chairman. Richard Hackborn has been named lead independent director of the company. The company has also appointed Bart M. Schwartz, a former U.S. prosecutor, as counsel to perform a forward-looking and independent review of investigative methods and the company's standard of business conduct processes. This will ensure we have the appropriate level of rigor and discipline so that we can be assured that this type of situation can never happen again. In summary, what began as an investigation with the best intentions has ended up turning in a direction that we could not have anticipated. The people of HP don't deserve this, nor do any of the people who were impacted. Now we know the depth of what's transpired. I take full accountability to get this right. HP is a remarkable company with tremendous assets in its talented employees, loyal customers, and innovative products. But it's always been our deep values and beliefs that have set us apart from our competitors and made HP a place where people want to work and where customers want to buy from. Our job is to fix this and to get back to the job of running a business, serving customers, and delivering on our commitments. I feel so strongly about this that I volunteered to share what I know with the Committee on Energy and Commerce next week in Washington, D.C. I'm going to leave my comments there for now. I'm going to hand the floor back to Bob so you can hear from Mike. Thank you very much for coming.
I'm sorry, we're not taking questions, as I said at the beginning of this. We will do our best to answer your questions afterward through media relations. I'd now like to introduce Mike Holston of the law firm of Morgan Lewis to help take you through some of the events that you have been asking about. I hand the floor over to Mike.
Holston, H-O-L-S-T-O-N. Thanks, Mark, and good afternoon. Good afternoon, and thanks to Mark. I've been asked by Mark to discuss the work that Morgan Lewis has done to date. Specifically, I've been asked to explain the process that Morgan Lewis has undergone to uncover the facts behind the leak investigation and to present those facts to you, with a particular focus on the facts related to the issues that have been addressed in the media in the past few weeks. Before getting into the specifics, let me say that our investigation is not complete. There's still more work to be done. I was first retained by HP with regard to these issues on September the 8th. As I mentioned, the firm has been asked to do an in-depth review of all the facts surrounding the investigation of the board leaks. The objective of the investigation is to get a comprehensive picture of what happened and when and how it happened. In addition to this investigation, Morgan Lewis is also now handling all federal and state inquiries and investigations related to this matter. First, let me talk about the process. During the past 2 weeks, Morgan Lewis has collected more than 1 million pages of documents. We have reviewed many of these pages in the last 10 days. We are committed to reviewing the remaining documents as fast as we are able. The documents include internal HP documents and, to the extent we have been able to obtain them, documents from third parties who worked with HP in the leak investigation. The investigation conducted by HP into the boardroom leaks encompassed two phases. The first, in early 2005, was called Kona 1, and the second, in early 2006, was called Kona 2. Documents reviewed by Morgan Lewis show that certain HP executives and employees assisted in or were knowledgeable about the investigation. I will address the roles of various HP executives and employees in more details in a few minutes. It is now clear that the investigation included tactics that range from the review of HP's internal emails and instant messages to the physical surveillance of an HP board member and at least one journalist, to the pretexting of telephone call information of board members, HP employees, and journalists. Let me start with the first phase of the investigation, Kona 1. The investigation was started in early 2005 in response to a series of leaks of confidential company information. HP's then chairwoman, Patricia Dunn, contacted Security Outsourcing Solutions to perform investigative work. HP had a long-standing contractual relationship with SOS. For the first month or so of the investigation, Ms. Dunn worked directly with Ron D'Elia from SOS. The investigation focused on attempting to find the source of the leaks to various Business Week, Wall Street Journal, and New York Times journalists. 2 months into Kona 1, HP Global Security was brought in to assist with the investigation. At a July 22, 2005 meeting, SOS reported on the findings of the investigation. We believe that meeting was attended by Ms. Dunn, Ann Baskins, Jim Fairbaugh, Tony Gentilucci, Ron D'Elia, and Kevin Huska. Mark Hurd also briefly attended a portion of that meeting. Kona 1 concluded in late summer of 2005 without uncovering the source of the leaks. Now let's discuss Kona 2. In late January 2006, there were leaks of confidential information from a January 2006 board meeting that appeared in a CNET story on January 23, 2006. After these further leaks, the investigation resumed. The core investigative team behind Kona 2 was Ron D'Elia from SOS and HP employees Tony Genalucci, Vincent Nye, Fred Adler, and Kevin Hunsaker. Kevin Hunsaker directed the Kona 2 investigation for HP. Ms. Dunn, Mark Hurd, Ann Baskins, and Jim Fairbaugh were made aware that the Kona 2 team was assembled and was beginning to identify the source of the leaks. Over the next 3 months, regular updates were provided by members of the investigation team to Ms. Dunn and to a lesser extent to Ann Baskins. During the course of Kona 2, certain members of the investigation team provided assurances that the techniques being used in the investigation were legal. Those assurances came from, among others, Kevin Hunsaker, SOS, and SOS's outside legal counsel in Massachusetts. In March 2006, the Kona 2 team prepared a draft report of the investigation that was addressed to Ms. Dunn, Mark Hurd, and Ann Baskins. The report identified the source of the leaking and outlined the investigative techniques employed, including pretexting, with assurances that those techniques were lawful. In April 2006, HP provided a copy of the draft report to its outside corporate counsel for review and comment. The results of the investigation were reported on at the May 18, 2006 board meeting. On May 24, Kevin Hunsaker produced a final report of the investigation. We are not currently aware of any investigation into leaks continuing after May 18, 2006. Now that I've given you an overview of the leak investigation, I want to address certain techniques that were used in the leak investigation and which have been largely reported on by the media during the past several weeks. In particular, I want to focus principally on four methods that were used. One, obtaining telephone and facsimile call information through pretexting. Two, the use of social security numbers to obtain phone call information. The use of social security numbers to obtain phone call information through pretexting. Three, sending an email that had a tracing mechanism as an attachment to the email. And four, the surveillance of individuals. These techniques were in addition to traditional investigatory techniques, such as the review of other articles written by the journalists with access to the source of the leak, and a search of HP internal records. Let me walk you through how and what was done in each of these four areas based on what we know currently. One, the telephone call information through pretexting. We are trying to respect the privacy of the individuals involved, and thus we will not be disclosing the identity of the individuals investigated. HP fully intends to provide each person with detailed information about the information obtained about them and the methods used for obtaining such information. Information regarding hundreds of telephone calls was obtained through pretexting. At this point in our investigation, there is evidence that SOS, directly or indirectly, obtained telephone or facsimile call information through pretexting for 2 current HP employees, 7 former or current HP board members or their family members, and 9 journalists or their family members. I want to stress that to the best of our knowledge, this activity was conducted by an outside investigator. As a result, it has been difficult for us to obtain all of the relevant documentation so far. 2, use of social security numbers in order to obtain records and HP employees' involvement in the pretexting. Morgan Lewis has uncovered one instance where, in January 2006, a member of the core investigation team provided an HP employee's social security number to SOS. We believe this was done for the purpose of obtaining telephone call information through pretexting. In addition, in January 2006, SOS obtained and transmitted social security numbers to Action Research Group, the subcontractor SOS used to assist it in the investigation. Again, we believe this was done for the purpose of obtaining telephone call information through pretexting. It is unclear at this stage what involvement, if any, HP employees had in obtaining and or transmitting these social security numbers to SOS. At this point in our investigation, we have information that social security numbers were used for the following: 3 journalists, 3 current or former HP board members, and 1 HP employee. In March 2006, we believe that SOS obtained and transmitted the social security numbers for 1 other journalist, expressly for the purpose of obtaining telephone call information. It is unclear what involvement, if any, HP employees had in obtaining and or transmitting this information to SOS at this time. 3, the tracer. Recent media stories have discussed the use of an email message with what has been referred to as a tracer. A tracer is frequently used in businesses by individuals or companies which run websites to understand the behavior of their customers and can be used to obtain information such as the IP address of the person who downloads the tracer. In January 2006, the investigation team created an email account with a fictitious name and used that email account to send an email containing a tracer to a journalist. The objective of the investigation team was to determine whether the journalist would forward the email to her source and to determine the source of the leaks of HP confidential information. The investigation team prepared the email account and message so that the message appeared to be coming from a disgruntled senior executive who was willing to share information with the journalist. The email to the journalist would provide what appeared to be confidential information. At this stage, the evidence suggests that the investigation team never received any confirmation that the tracer was activated, even though it received email messages from the journalist. The concept of sending the misinformation to the reporter and the content of the misinformation to be contained in the message of the email was approved by Mark Hurd. We have found no evidence that he was asked to approve the use of the tracer. 4, surveillance. Members of SOS engaged in physical surveillance. At this point in our investigation, we have the following information. In January 2006, SOS had an investigator surveil a board meeting to determine if any journalists were seen at or around the site of the board meeting. In late January into early February of 2006, SOS had an investigator surveil an HP board member. The surveillance efforts included surveilling him during a trip to Boulder, Colorado, where he was a keynote speaker at an event. SOS also surveilled him, his spouse, and potentially other family members who were at the board member's residence in California at the time. In February 2006, SOS had an investigator surveil a journalist and her residence. We also have evidence that in February 2006, third-party investigators may have conducted a search of individuals' trash. However, at this time, we do not know who the targets of these efforts were. Finally, I want to address what we have not seen so far in our investigation. At this point in Morgan Lewis's investigation, we have seen no evidence that any employee authorized or had knowledge of any use of online accounts being created or used to obtain telephone call information. We have not seen evidence that any wiretapping of any telephones occurred. We have not seen evidence that any computer keystrokes were tracked. And while a PowerPoint presentation discussing potential investigative techniques suggested studying the feasibility of undercover operations at the San Francisco offices of the Wall Street Journal and CNET, we do not have any information to support the contention that any such operations actually occurred. I appreciate the cooperation of HP and its employees during the course of our investigation. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Mike. That concludes what we have to say today. We will work on getting you, if you are interested, a copy of some of the material Mike was speaking from. At this point, I'm going to end our session. Thank you very much for attending.